AM Classic Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning. Happy Tuesday. I know I said it before, I'm going to say it again. It's icy outside. It's freezing. So please be careful out there. Not even just driving. When you're walking, be careful, okay? Remember, there's black ice. You could fall. You could bust a hip like Nancy Pelosi. You don't want any of that. You don't want that, all right? You're going to end up hurting yourself to the point where you hit your face on the ground like Mitch McConnell. Look, things can happen. You don't want any of that. Before the break, we were talking about Matthew Lievelsberger and his girlfriend, I guess I should say alleged girlfriend, spoke out. Her name is Erin. She could be a crisis actor. I don't know. I really don't know. Let's see. I got some texts here. I just wanted to read because some people were kind enough to text in on the conversation. Robert says, Kim, Lievelsberger's family said he was a member of the Delta Force and assigned to psychological operations. Fort Liberty, formerly Fort Bragg, is home of special operations and covert psychological operations. The 4th PSYOPS group specializing in psychological military operations is housed at Fort Liberty. I just wanted to point out that Teslas are equipped with driver's assist autopilot, which makes them capable of driving by themselves, even though it's not meant to be used for this purpose. Another thing about Tesla's EVs is that they are equipped with several cameras aimed all around the vehicle's exterior, which the driver can access footage. There are also cameras inside that only Tesla can access to. Yeah, Robert, and that's what we were told. I guess that was what? That was last week. I think it was Thursday or Friday. Las Vegas police said that Elon Musk and Tesla did send a crew to Las Vegas to actually go through the investigation of that Cybertruck alongside them so they could go through whether it's the camera footage, go through some of the things that could be different that you wouldn't normally see happen, or even, you know, I guess they were talking about the explosion itself. They want to make sure that those that work on Teslas that are very familiar with Teslas are there for the investigation, because they are not. And so, Robert, yes, we'll continue to wait to get those alleged results, because you never know. That could all be a lie also. I did have a couple of people here that wanted to weigh in. Eric says, Kim, you have the patience of Job. That caller could be an idiot. Eric, I don't really know. Somebody says, I want what some of that dude was smoking. Okay. Timothy says, Kim, holy crap, how much coffee did that guy have today? You showed a lot of patience with him. Actually, way too much patience. Love your show. You know, I appreciate that. What I want to do is I want to make sure that we hear everybody out, because we can agree to disagree. You know, we could agree. You know, it is what it is. But I just want to make sure, you know, when you call in, this is why I like taking calls, you know, that person has the time to really give their perspective. Of course, if we're coming up on a break and I have to cut it short, I apologize. But I want to make sure that you're able to give your perspective on it, because sometimes there are perspectives that I don't think about and that I've never heard that I love to hear. But, you know, just saying that all of this is fake and none of it is real and providing zero evidence for that, there's nothing I can do with that information. There's nothing I could do. I mean, we could sit here and go off of, you know, different theories. I mean, even when we were talking about the drones in the first place, I think, remember I said, put on your tinfoil hat, because I said it was us from the future, and, you know, it was a little tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, we didn't really know much about the drones. We still don't know much about the drones. And the Pentagon has been very hush-hush on, you know, the entire situation. And honestly, the most that I've heard since, you know, everyone has stopped talking about it is what we saw in those emails that are allegedly from Matthew Lievelsberger. As I mentioned earlier, we still don't know. It's not confirmed that those emails are even from him. So we'll continue to wait and see what happens here. I guess you can take any investigation with a grain of salt. I can only go off of what's out there information-wise. I can't just, you know, make up a story in my head and roll with it and say, you know, say it here on WCBM. I mean, that's, you know, so, you know, a lot of what we talk about is based in truth and fact. And it's based in what we're told from investigators that are investigating, you know, a situation. That's all we can do. You know, we can't just like fill in the blanks and, you know, play la-di-da-di-da. It's just, it doesn't work like that. And I'm sorry that somebody or some people might think that I, you know, can do otherwise, but I really cannot. I really cannot. We were talking a little bit about this last week with LaToya Cagolo. Again, congratulations to LaToya. She was on Friday. District 31 has a vacant seat. They voted Friday evening in Anne Arundel County to nominate LaToya. The governor still has to sign it. I'm sure he will. But she will be starting tomorrow, a delegate in District 31. But we were talking about the blueprint. And I think many of us have been very concerned on whether or not we have the money for the blueprint. And that's kind of the key here, because I did see this segment on Fox 45 with Project Baltimore, Chris Pabst. And he did sit down and talk to Senator Justin Reedy. And I just kind of want to lay this on the table to you because, again, the session starts tomorrow. And this is one of the things they're going to be talking about. And in my view, I think they take blueprint completely off the table. I don't see how it helps kids at all. I don't see where you'll get the results that you want to get from something in which you're spending billions of dollars on. But take a listen to Chris Pabst with Project Baltimore. Again, Senator Justin Reedy is mentioned in this clip. And he does. He talks in this interview as well. So take a listen.
Maryland's 90-day legislative session starts on Wednesday. And one of the biggest agenda items this year will be the blueprint for Maryland's future.
That's right. And our state is facing a multi-billion dollar deficit. As Project Baltimore's Chris Pabst explains, much of that is driven by education spending, which a growing number of state leaders says needs to be slowed down.
The blueprint for Maryland's future passed in 2021. The law pumps $30 billion additional tax dollars into public education statewide over the first 10 years, and then $4 billion additional dollars every year after that. The increased funding comes from a mix of state and local dollars. The law, in part, increases teacher salaries, expands pre-K, and bolsters career and technology training. But when the legislature passed the law, it was not attached to a funding mechanism.
Our fidelity is to our students. They are not to our formulas.
Now, nearly 4 years after the bill passed,
and we will implement the parts of the blueprint that we know work.
Some lawmakers, including Maryland Governor Wes Moore, are saying there may need to be some changes as the state faces a projected $2.7 billion budget shortfall in 2025.
This year, I will propose a pause in the implementation of collaborative time provisions in the blueprint for Maryland's future.
Speaking at the Maryland Association of Counties last month, Governor Moore announced plans to pause some elements of the law, though he did not provide specifics. But for some, this move was inevitable.
It's a self-created hole.
Years ago, Senator Justin Reedy, who represents Carroll and Frederick counties, tried to warn lawmakers in Annapolis that education spending was sending Maryland towards a financial cliff.
Yes.
We last spoke with Reedy in June of 2024, when Moody's credit agency downgraded Maryland's financial outlook to negative from stable, largely because of education spending.
I think it's alarming if you don't change course.
Reedy and other Republicans have argued the blueprint can be fully funded if it's implemented over 14 years instead of the current 10 years, which would significantly reduce the strain on state and local budgets.
You don't have to raise taxes, and you also don't need draconian massive cuts. You just need to slow down the rate of growth, and we can address a lot of our outstanding budget issues.
State and local education leaders are calling for a seat at the table to discuss the future of the blueprint.
All right, again, that's Chris Pabst, Project Baltimore, which you can find this on Fox 45's website, and that's Senator Justin Reedy. Now, Senator Justin Reedy is like the nicest guy ever, and he's really a great state senator, okay? And he's helped a lot of Republicans running for office, and he does a great job helping with fundraising. And again, when I talk about some of the great people we have in Annapolis, he is one of them. He is one of them. But I know he also likes to make sure that he works to get things done for the people. And he knows that he has to somewhat work across the aisle, you know, be kind and, you know, take in consideration that there are other people across the aisle in the majority. And that's what he has to work with, right? I mean, when it comes to state senators, when it comes to delegates here in the state of Maryland, I know people give some a hard time because they feel as though they lean a little more left than they would like them to. And trust me, a lot of times they don't want to. a lot of times that's the best that they can do, right? And so that's why I think sometimes, you know, the criticism's there. I don't think it should be there. But here's what I could say here at WCBM. See, I'm not in office, right? So I could say here, myself, I don't think that this should be spread out and stretched over 14 years. I think it should be kicked off the table altogether. I don't think that we can afford it. I don't think we'll ever be able to afford it. If we continue down this road where we're relying on the government to be the economy, we can't afford the blueprint. And I still can't see where the blueprint is helpful to educating students. It looks as though, and I could be totally wrong on this, it looks like it's just a pay increase for teachers and administrators. And possibly there's some more programs that are in there that I guess I want to have for students. But I don't see where the education piece comes into play. And we already found out when it comes to some of these middle schools and even elementary schools, you're going to see larger class sizes. Look, you know, none of us are that naive to think that a larger class size is helpful in any way to any student. It is not. And so, you know, there are these little caveats where they're trying to, like, just, you know, kind of sweep them under the rug. Like, yeah, you know, it's there, but it's not really there, you know. But it is. It's there. And how many times have we learned in Baltimore City, no matter how much money you throw into a school system, it doesn't mean a better outcome or results for the students? We've got the third highest per pupil spending, and it's been that way for a decade. In Baltimore City, you would think a decade, you know, since we've done that, you would think that you would have more students graduating each year from Baltimore City schools that go off to be, you know, successful engineers and scientists in larger numbers. We have some of them that come out and do that. We also have a lot that come out and can't do basic math or reading or writing. So it's not the money. I just wanted to kind of throw this out there because, of course, session starts tomorrow. And this is one of the biggest topics they're going to discuss. And I am just floored at the fact that, you know, we're even talking about doing any of this at all. And Governor Moore, I understand you have a pretty high approval rating right now, and you probably think that you can get away with murder. I'm just saying, you know, when you're looking at the deficit and you're thinking about the ways that the government could fix this situation, you're either going to tax us. You are either going to tax us later, maybe not today, or you're going to print more money, which is going to cause inflation, which is like adding another tax, right? I mean, that's the only way that he's going to get out of this. And so, yes, you might be sitting pretty a little bit now, but I caution you to really think about whether or not the blueprint is worth it. I'm just one person, but I know a lot of people feel the same way that I do. And I don't think it's worth it. I really do not. All right. I did want to talk about the Baltimore County executive race. Looks like we have breaking news coming out of Baltimore County. They did choose a new county executive. This came across my screen just a minute ago from WMAR. We're going to talk about that coming up next. My question to you really was, who did you like out of the five? But I guess now it's kind of a moot point. I didn't think they were going to decide this early on in the day. Did anybody else know that? I did not think that they were going to decide so early on. I thought this was going to be more of a, you know, public involvement. I guess not, because it has to be done so quickly. And so I won't judge that piece of it. But I do want to get your feedback. Coming up next, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. There's a new Baltimore County executive in town. We'll talk about that coming up next. All right. Looks like we do know who the county executive is going to be. But before we go there, I'm going to do what I was told not to do. Because I cannot. Okay, here's the thing. It came down to five different people that were in this Baltimore County executive race. I do want to get your feedback on this, by the way. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. But I cannot pronounce two of their names. And I'm not even going to try anymore. I'm done trying. I'm over it. Okay? So I'm going to play this audio for you. But this is from last week when they were talking about voting. Again, they were supposed to vote on this yesterday, but obviously we had the snowstorm. So they made their decision. A lot of people were saying that they believed the decision had already been made. I'm one of those people. I thought a lot of this was just for show. I don't think they really cared. about what the community thought. If you just want my honest opinion here. But take a listen to this audio from Fox 45.
With the pomp and circumstance Friday, Johnny Olszewski is swearing in, officially starting his job in Congress, representing Marylanders in the 2nd District. With his resignation in Baltimore County, the question now, who will take over as the next county executive?
I want someone that's going to take County Executive Olszewski's vision that he was elected to do and take that ball and run with it for the next 18 months.
That decision is right around the corner. The Baltimore County Council is set to decide Monday.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming out for such a historic event tonight.
As the county council has been whittling down the list of candidates they've heard from residents.
I ask you to choose a candidate who will work to leave Baltimore County a better place.
And 5 of the candidates who are front runners.
All other agencies are subject to budget cuts.
With youth, more wraparound services are needed. Not a slap on the wrist.
Reducing juvenile crime must, and I say must, and it will be a top priority.
Safety and education is going to be one of my first priorities.
We need to ensure that our students are college and career ready. Also supporting efforts to make our school budget, like our county budget, more transparent.
But with no official decision made just yet, in the meantime, until the county council makes their pick, DeAndrea Walker, who has been serving as the county administrative officer, is temporarily taking over as county executive.
All right. And again, that was Fox 45 audio clip from last week. And we were just kind of going over who the top 5 candidates were. And now we found out there has been a decision made by county council, and it is... That was my drum roll. Kathy Klausmeier. That's right. Kathy Klausmeier from District 8. She was the state senator. Now they're going to have to fill that vacancy. Many people speculating on who that's going to be. But I know that we had some people that called in that wanted the Baltimore County Executive, interim county executive, to be Kathy Klausmeier. And if you were hoping it was Kathy, you got your wish. I want you guys to weigh in on this. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Very interesting indeed. Very interesting. I know that there are actually Republicans that I know that actually do like Kathy Klausmeier. She's not as progressive, I think, as some of the Democrats in this town, and that's great. I guess I still look at it as it's still Baltimore County, still leans very blue. I thought it was interesting that many of these candidates mostly talked about the safety in Baltimore County. That aspect, that is huge. It is huge. I also thought it was interesting because, if you recall, even during Johnny O's race there, he's now the congressman here in District 2. If you recall, he kept saying that he didn't have a whole lot of say over safety and the public safety measures and juvenile justice reform and things like that. But Scott Schellenberger, the state's attorney, he actually spoke at one of these Baltimore County executive meetings or the town halls, and he said that he wanted somebody that is tougher on crime. And so I guess that just shows, you know, what we already knew. The Baltimore County executive does have a say on how we treat crime in the county. So when you saw that mass shooting in Towson, when you see this uptick in fatal shootings and non-fatal shootings, the carjackings, the county executive can do something about it. They just have to want to do something about it. So will Kathy Klausmeier do that? 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Beyond that, and as I mentioned before, I want something to be done about the Section 8 housing. Whether people want to admit it or not, and it's not a race thing. There's all different colors, creeds, whatever. Use Section 8 housing, okay? Unfortunately, there is evidence and data that shows that there is a lot of crime and violence in neighborhoods that is that are overwhelmed with voucher holders. That's just, you know, the unfortunate data. Don't shoot the messenger kind of deal, you know? Are we going to do something about that? Is she going to be able to make that connection to the crime? The public transportation also... a connection that we made to crime. I want to get your feedback on this. 410-WCBM 680. 410-922-6680. Kathy Klausmeier is now the interim Baltimore County Executive. And I want to get your thoughts on it. All right, we're talking about the new Baltimore County executive. The congratulations in order for Kathy Klausmeier. She is currently, I guess, you know, she's currently state senator in District 8. I did read, if you wanted to take a look at this, WMAR has a story. She will not be officially voted in until 3 p.m. when county council meets today. And at that time, she will be sworn in. Now, DeAndrea Walker, she helped out during the snowstorm. I didn't really believe that they were truly trying to find the next county executive, or they truly wanted input from, you know, Baltimore County residents. I never believed that piece of it. I know that they were kind of going through the motions on it. I did want to get your feedback on this. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Like I said, I know there are some Republicans that like Kathy Klausmeier. I don't know a ton about her, so I can't say whether, you know, this is a great pick or not a great pick. All I can do is go off of, you know, what she has said recently here as she threw her name in the hat for county executive. And it sounds like she does care about the crime and violence. I hope that she does something about it. But I do. I want something to be done about Section 8 housing and, you know, the public transportation issue, because honestly, it's contributing to what we see. And real quick, yesterday I didn't get a chance to talk about the shooting in Aberdeen over the weekend. Just so you know, the juveniles that were shot in that shooting, they were linked back to Baltimore City. And we talked about this millions of times. So I went on Instagram, went to that Murder, Inc. page where they were talking about the shooting, talking about the young man that was killed. And everybody in the comment section saying, oh, that's my nephew, we love you, can't believe this happened to you. They were all from Baltimore City, all of them. And apparently he went to Baltimore City middle schools. So I, you know, whether they want to admit it or not, all they did was outsource their violent criminals. And they were posting pictures of this guy that was killed in Aberdeen. I guess you could say kid. I think he was still a teenager. But here he was fanning the money, right? He's got the money all fanned out on the ground, you know, hanging up the gang signs. And these are the pictures. Here are the pictures they have of him in passing. Him being a gangster and looking as though that he's a drug dealer. Like, as the mother or the aunt of this kid, is that really what you want to put out there? Are those the pictures that you want people to remember him by? Him on the corner? You know, I mean, they're like, just, I don't know. Is that all you have of him? Did he not have school photos? You know, it's like, sometimes you wonder about these things. Do you not have a nice, decent picture of these kids? We talked about the subculture in Black America. This is part of it. This is part of it. You got a teenager that was killed by another teenager, and the only pictures the family have to offer are of him, you know, basically, seemingly a drug dealer on a street corner, you know, putting money, laying the money out on the ground. And, of course, he doesn't have a known job. So you can only imagine where all the $100 bills came from. You know, I mean, I guess, look, he could have been doing something else. Maybe he has a mixtape he was selling out of the back of his car. I don't know. I don't know. But this is the part I'm talking about. A lot of what you see, the perpetrators, those with, you know, the shooting in Towson, all this stuff, a lot of this can be traced back to Baltimore City. And then here you got Mayor Brandon Scott and others saying, well, we're down in non-fatal shootings. We're down in homicides. I had this fight again with Zeke Cohen over the weekend. Stop saying that. You're not down on non-fatal shootings. You're not down when it comes to homicides or crime and violence. You outsourced it to the surrounding counties. We're not stupid. Anyways, I wonder if Kathy Klausmeier is going to deal with any of this. And I think, and I hope, I would love to have, you know what I would love? I would love a Democrat to call these people out on these fake numbers. Wouldn't that be the day? Want to get your take on this? 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Good morning, Marty. How are you?
Oh, I'm a little bit perplexed. What kabuki theater?
Yeah.
I mean, what a joke. I mean, the reality of it is the whole county council, all they did was they made up their decision a long time ago. I mean, they even put out the announcement before they even had their meeting. So why didn't they just put out an announcement 3 weeks ago? Kathy Klausmeier could have resigned her job. The Democratic Steering Committee could have recommended her replacement, and they won't be going into the special session without a senator in District 8.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right, Marty. That's how I felt about it. You know, they're talking about whether or not Delegate Carl Jackson will take her seat. What, do you have any theory on that?
Well, you know I do. That's what I've heard. I've heard that he's going to take the Senate seat, but then that leaves his seat open.
Right.
Right as you're going into the session. And the reality of it is they should have made the decision before Johnny O resigned. So day one, there would have been a transition of power to whoever the county executive was going to be.
Yeah.
Instead of going through this dog and pony show, making it look like there was community input and, you know, just make a decision and live with it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this decision was made, obviously, 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's how I felt as well. And I don't know why they went on with it, but I guess it's, you know.
I think that they wanted the people to feel like they had a say in it. And the reality of it is the people never had a say in it.
Right.
And it's both sides of the aisle.
Yep.
I'm not going to leave the Republicans out of it, and I'm not going to leave the Democrats out of it.
Oh, for
but
sure.
It was all choreographed. It was all a dog and pony show. And to be honest with you, it doesn't bother me who's in office. The process was ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insulting. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, you have a wonderful day and all the best in 2025.
Thank you, Marty. Same to you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you. You know, and that's really what it was. And this is what I was kind of alluding to. When it comes to Kathy Klausmeier, like I said, there are many Republicans that like her. And I have no idea if she's amazing or not. If I've met her, I don't remember. And I can't even tell you how she voted on many issues. I guess I could call my friend Glenn Gilhar and he could tell us because he knows all these things. But you kind of have to wait and see what she ends up doing. And I do believe the Republicans got with the Democrats. I think there was probably like a group chat amongst the county council members. And I think they did decide it was Kathy Klausmeier a long time ago. I think Jim Brochin, even though a lot of people in the community wanted Jim Brochin because he barely lost to Johnny Olszewski in 2018, I think a lot of Democrats like Jim Brochin. But let's be honest, guys, he's not part of the in crowd. You see, that there's still like that little establishment piece to it. And Kathy Klausmeier, she's on the inside. She knows the Republicans and the Democrats, whether they're in Annapolis, whether they're in, you know, local office, she knows them all. Jim Broach is not part of the crew. And that's the part that I think many of us are sick and tired of, right? That we're sick of the establishment. So is she going to, you know, govern that way? I don't know. Like I said, I don't know much about her. I do know that there are Republicans that were even on my campaign team that do like her. And so, you know, that's all I could go off of and of course, see what she does once she's actually in office. Like I said, she'll be sworn in at 3 p.m. And they'll just go from there. I guess my whole thing, same thing with Marty. Why did you wait? Was it just to make people feel good? Because I'd rather not feel good about it and rather have those seats already, you know, filled. Because now you're just wasting time. Right? Because, and this is what I heard. I've heard Delegate Carl Jackson's absolutely going into that seat. Now, will it be true? I don't know. But if you recall, he was at the press conference when they were talking about the Towson mass shooting. He was standing right next to Johnny Olszewski. And then he was there for the walk that they just did, which was I thought was a waste of time and resources. But they did this domestic violence walk in Rosedale because of the young four-year-old that was killed. It's shot by his father. He also shot the mother of the kids and the baby. And they had like this walk that they did. And so Delegate Carl Jackson, he was there too. And I'm like, well, you know, there's a lot of camera time for this guy. But that's because I do believe he's going to end up taking the seat. If that's the case, and you've already decided that, and you already decided that it was Kathy Klausmeier, you know, why are you fiddling around? I mean, you know, because then Delegate Carl Jackson, as Marty pointed out, his seat's now open. Where are you going with that one? Let us know. Because now, here they are, going back to work here in Annapolis tomorrow. And now they got to play, you know, musical chairs. We got stuff to do. We got stuff that we expect you to do. Juvenile crime's a big one. Now, again, Carl Jackson's also one of those people that takes lots of pictures with Republicans. Is he very Republican? I don't know about that. I wish I knew more about, you know, where he stood on the issues. All I know is there's some votes that he had on his record that I don't personally agree with. I do think he's a nice guy. I've met him. I actually stood outside with him during early voting. He was campaigning for Johnny Olszewski, and we were at Honeygo early voting site. He was out there. Nice guy. Nice as could be. You know, but they're all nice. I mean, Johnny Olszewski Jr. is nice, right? I don't agree with, you know, his policies. I think he's a little shiesty on it, but he's a nice guy. He'll come up to you and shake your hand. There's no beef there. But, you know, I think they just kind of wasted our time on this. And it's insulting to the taxpayer because we deserve better. We deserve for you to be efficient, right? This is why we've got DOGE right now that's going to happen under President Trump with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. We want you to be efficient with our tax dollars. What you just did with this, you know, county executive race that really was just, you know, for show, that wasn't very efficient at all. You wasted all of our time and our money. And we don't like it. If you wanted to weigh in on this, you can. But Kathy Klausmeier is, in fact, she is a new county executive for now. Marty said, Rosedale is Carl's district. That is Carl's district, yes. But I didn't see him at some of these things previously. You know what I will say? When I saw the Towson mass shooting presser, and even the day after, I thought that was interesting because they don't usually do pressers for those. And we've had some pretty heinous shootings and carjackings in Baltimore County where Johnny O just didn't say a word about them. Now, it could be because he was running for office and he didn't want to bring any attention to it. But there was no light that was shone on any of those things. And so when I saw that and I saw Carl standing there, I thought, here we go. Here we go. All right. Well, I just wanted to talk about that. Of course, we'll continue to see what happens next. Who are they going to place in that seat? Like I said, I think it's Carl Jackson. If it is Carl Jackson, you know what? You know what's cool? I'm going to call him. That's what I'm going to do. Look at me. I have his number. I'm going to call him and see if we can get him on the show. I don't know if he'll agree, but maybe he'll agree to come on and talk about the seat and talk about whether or not he actually wants the seat. As far as I know, people are saying that that's where he will end up. But you know what? Let's ask Carl. Does he want the seat? Does he want to remain the delegate? Does he want to get to work here tomorrow in the session? I will try to find out. Maybe we can get him on the show tomorrow. We'll see. I know not every Democrat's friendly with me. They think I'm going to, like, bite their heads off, which is usually not the case. Usually not the case. I'm actually really polite. Right, Brian, the producer? I'm really nice, even during the commercial breaks. I only yell at him sometime. Not all the time. Sometime. I got Tom in Parkville. Tom, you wanted to weigh in on the county executive race?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to focus on the info on Carl Jackson, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll give you a point of reference. If you look at the last CPAC ratings, Carl Jackson's rating was zero. Yeah.
Oh, zero.
Zero conservative, yes. He, you know, since Joe Boatler left office, his numbers have gone down. All of the three delegates in that district have rated zero. It's pretty funny. But, he takes pictures with people like Councilman Marks and all that, and Marks has been parading him around and putting him in front of cameras. I kind of saw this coming, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was funny because I called it out when he was at that press conference with the police chief, and he just loves to pull the old card, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But none of the other delegates were in the shot.
Yeah, I noticed that too, because where was Nick Allen?
Oh, he was in the background somewhere.
Okay.
He was there, but he wasn't there.
He wasn't in the shot, right.
Yeah. And I think Allen was also at that walkthrough. And I said, enough walking and talking, guys. You got to do something. We had 10 people shot in White Marsh. Remember the 10A? Where was the walk for that?
Yeah.
And he and the other delegates at that time, two of the three, when Joe Boatler was still in office, they voted to override the law officer's Bill of Rights. He is not for the police. I don't know why they prop him up.
So that's interesting, because Glenn Gilhar pointed that out when he was here in studio.
Yeah.
That he is not supportive of the police.
Oh, not even close. I mean, a matter of fact, it was the other delegate, Harry Bandari, that says, well, don't you want to hold the police accountable? I said, Harry, why are we trying the criminals first?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're not doing that. So what I'm saying is this has been planned for a while. And I like Kathy. I mean, she's more conservative than the rest of them. But and I think she'll do an okay job for the fill-in. But Carl Jackson, he's very well-liked by the Speaker of the House and Wes Moore. I mean, you know, so they're elevating him. So this will be the second time, by the way, that he's been selected before elected.
Oh, okay.
Because he filled in Tom Bromwell's spot when he went into Olszewski's administration.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he got fourth place, and he filled that in. And then he got elected, and now here we go again. I hope we have a good, solid, conservative Republican challenger.
Yeah.
For his seat. You know?
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure.
All right. So some people should look at his record. It's pretty poor. He also was very in favor of the Juvenile Justice Act. And if you look at it, if you look back in the day when I was down there, you would have like a report and how it would impact the financial impact report of, you know, how much is it going to cost the state for this bill and that bill. Well, in recent years, they added an equity impact report. And they found that the first juvenile justice bill, that 75% of minorities were the reason of the crime. Okay, so juveniles are just being let go because they're protected. They're protected by this bill. They can't be questioned. They can't be arrested, and they can't be tried because they're just going to get out.
Yeah, yeah, that's what Scott Schellenberger was saying, that he hopes to get a county executive that really raises their voice against those bills.
Well, as long as that juvenile justice thing is in place, I think they're still hamstrung, quite honestly.
Yeah, that's why I wanted it repealed. I still don't see where they're going to do that this session, but, like, yeah, you know, my fingers are crossed, I guess, Tom.
Oh, no, I'm just holding on to my wallet, so just saying.
Yeah. Well, Tom, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you.
Not a problem. Take care, Kim.
Thank you. And there are many people out there that know exactly more about the voting records of individuals. And so I am going to reach out to Carl Jackson. Maybe he'll come on the show. Maybe not. But I would love to see if he does want the seat that Kathy Klausmeier will leave open. Coming up next, we'll continue this conversation. And then we are going to get to the Gonzales poll because Governor Wes Moore has a new approval rating out. And I want to share it with you. All right. Again, congratulations to Kathy Klausmeier. She's a state senator in District 8, but now, as of 3 o'clock today, she'll be sworn in as Baldwin County Executive. That leaves her seat open. Again, like I said, I'm going to reach out to Carl Jackson here and see if we could get him on the show. That would be great, right, to find out whether or not he's interested in that state senator seat. He's currently a delegate in District 8. But there's a lot of chatter that he might actually want the seat. And as myself and Tom noted, he has been at a lot of the press conferences front and center lately. And usually you know what that means, right? It's part of politics. They all do it. Doesn't matter which side of the aisle it is. As soon as you're making moves and doing all these kinds of things, they got you front and center, get the photo op. So, you know, we're not holding that against Carl. Carl, we don't hold that against you. Everybody does it. Absolutely everyone does it. I guess I want some more clarity on the situation. You know, what are we looking at here? Because, you know, again, that state senator seat is now going to be open. They start back in session tomorrow. And this is kind of, you know, what Marty was talking about. Now you got this open seat. Now they're going to have to try to fill it. And we really need to be focused on the Juvenile Justice Reform Act, the Juvenile Interrogation Act, the blueprint, all the spending. I mean, I would love to see that climate change bill, whatever that is with the climate effort, that's $1 billion. I would love to see that being taken off the table. I mean, if you want the God honest truth from me. But, you know, these are things that I think we should be talking about, not whether or not, you know, we got somebody to fill some of these seats. But that's where we are. I guess it's my fault. Had I beat Johnny O, we wouldn't have this conversation. It's me. I'm the problem. Real quick, I did just want to mention, don't forget, we have the State of the Union. It's kind of like the State of the Union address, but it's the State of the Union dinner that we're going to be having. And you can actually go on WCBO.com right now to purchase tickets. It's at the Mount Washington Tavern on January 29th. So it's going to be a good time. You'll have myself. It'll be Bruce Elliott and Sean Casey. And we're just going to have a ton of fun. And, you know, I'm already thinking about my steak. I don't know about you, Brian, the producer, but I love, like, the gorgonzola on top. The blue cheese crumbles, whatever, you know, whatever they got. That's exactly what I want. So Steak of the Union, it is a dinner coming up with myself, Bruce Elliott, and Sean Casey. Get your tickets today, WCBM.com. I see tickets are already being sold. So go over there and get your tickets January 29th. And it'll be really fun. And, you know, again, I get to meet you guys. And I don't usually get to meet you face to face. And I love that. All right. So even when I was running for office, so many people came up and was like, hey, I listened to you on WCBM. It was great to meet you, to put a face with the name. You know, so many people call and they'll say, they're like, you know, it's me, Meadow from White Marsh. And I'm like, no way. And that's always fun. And then we take pictures together. It's a lot of fun. Well, anyways, go to WCBM.com and get your tickets today. Coming up next, we're going to talk about this Gonzalez poll. As I mentioned earlier, Governor Wes Moore's approval rating is out. There's also in this poll, people were surveyed and asked whether or not they would choose Governor Wes Moore over former Governor Larry Hogan. The number on that was quite interesting. We're going to talk about this, actually, because I wonder if running for Senate has really hurt Governor Larry Hogan in the long run here. Because remember, he was still thinking about the office of the presidency. I don't know if he's got a shot at all now. Like, I never thought that he really had a shot. But some people were wondering, could he run as an independent and have a shot? I don't know. Things are looking crazy. Also, people were asked about raising taxes to tackle the deficit. Interesting numbers there. So we'll talk about all that and more coming up next. Also, McDonald's dumps their DEI. Yeah, they're no longer looking to fill racial quotas. We're going to talk about that, too, because there's a lot of companies now doing the same. All that and more coming up next.
Kim Klasick Live starts now. Woo! On Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning. Happy Tuesday. I know. It doesn't feel like Tuesday, does it? It doesn't. You know, this holiday season has been crazy. Then on top of it, you add the snow days. If you're just joining us, I have to ask you, where the heck have you been? You missed breaking news. Kathy Klausmeier is now the Baltimore County Executive. She'll be sworn in at 3 p.m. That is what County Council has decided. And so now we're wondering who's going to go into her state Senate seat. It'll be interesting to watch and see. Also, we were talking about Matthew Livelsberger and some of the investigation into the cyber truck explosion in front of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. And you know what? We even had a small conversation about Kamala Harris because she had to certify the election results yesterday, which hadn't been a very humbling moment. Like I said, she was a good sport about it. I even noted online, if you follow me on social media, and I hope that you do, Kim K. Baltimore on X and then Kimberly Klasick on Instagram and Facebook. But I noted that J.D. Vance, when he stood up, because, of course, he was certified also yesterday along with President Trump. When he stood up to say thank you, he did like a head nod and a quiet thank you to Kamala Harris. And she actually gave him a genuine smile and a head nod back. And I thought it was actually really nice and sweet to see. I really did. Because, you know, you don't usually see that nowadays. Everything is so polarizing. And you could tell, like, he genuinely said thank you to her. And she genuinely said, you're welcome. And I thought, you know what, this is a new beginning. There's hope out there, I tell you. So anyways, I just noted that because I liked it. I did. I liked it. What you probably heard there, if you were listening to some of what was said during the break here on WCBM, $80,000 worth of copper was stolen from Yorkwood Elementary School in Baltimore City. I mean, just when you think we can't get lower, right? We hit a new low every week. I swear to you, we hit a new low every week. You know, I hope that they are able to catch the individual or individuals that did this. But apparently they were supposed to be getting some repairs done. And now they're in a situation where they're not going to have any heat. And I think it sounded like also water, too. Who would do something like that? I mean, it's just so disgusting these days. It's like, you know, there's nobody cares about the rule of law. And in this situation, you don't even care about the kids. I mean, this is an elementary school, for crying out loud. You know what? I hope they catch the person or, you know, people, like I said, and I hope they throw the book at them. I really do. I hope that they make, you know, an example out of somebody that would steal copper from an elementary school. Unbelievable. Well, to all those kids and to the parents that have kids at Yorkwood Elementary, I'm sorry that you're having to deal with this because somebody just truly does not care. Hopefully, like I said, they'll get that straightened out soon. There were people commenting on this story because, of course, it was on, you know, every website this morning. But somebody in the comments said that they knew for a fact, because I guess they were part of the delivery team on that copper, they knew for a fact that it was all bundled up still because it was for the repairs. And that's when they ended up stealing it because it was, like, I guess, sitting and bundled. And that's how they were able to get away with so much of it. So it's not like somebody went. And again, this is according to a commenter. And, you know, this is still allegedly. But he's saying that they didn't go in and actually take out $80,000 worth of copper. It was all bundled up and sitting there. And it was waiting for, you know, the team to come in and repair, do the repairs on it. And they just swiped it like that. I hope there's some cameras over there. Because honestly, and you know what? We should make an example. Not just an example, but, you know, shame them. Like, post their pictures up for, like, for a whole week. Every morning. You start the newscast every morning with their picture up. Because that's despicable. It really is. Stealing from kids? That's gross. All right. We got so much to talk about. When we were leaving the show yesterday, we did mention that the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, did announce that he was resigning. He said the infighting in his party was just not worth the headache. You know, I can understand that. I see infighting all the time with the Republican Party on social media. And I'm like, guys, when does it end? Okay, you don't like each other. Okay, you want clicks. Okay, you're monetizing your X account. I get it. But, I mean, there's some people that fight with other Republicans every single day. It gets exhausting. Well, anyways, Justin Trudeau said, I don't want to fight with those in my party. And so he announced that he is going to be resigning. And like I said earlier, there were a lot of people in his party that were not happy with the fact that he met with President Trump in Mar-a-Lago. And they felt like he was kind of getting smacked around a bit, which President Trump can do, you know, to some individuals. It's not like Justin Trudeau is like, you know, we're not looking at him and saying, wow, he's the ultimate alpha male. Like, he's not that guy. And so I'm sure President Trump looks at somebody like Justin and he's just like, ah, you know, and he slaps him around a little bit saying, oh, we'll make you the 51st state. Remember all those comments he was making? Canada will be the 51st state. You better watch your mouth, punk, you know? It's so sad because it's something like a grown man will say to like a teenage boy, right? Like it was interesting to watch. We'll put it that way. But now he is resigning, and he did announce as such as we were sitting here yesterday. So I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned that. As I mentioned before the break, I did want to talk about the new Gonzalez poll that is out. And Governor Westmore, he might be excited about the numbers. Now, interesting to note, and I like the fact that it came out here on the 7th, because I would love to see this poll, I would say maybe not even 60 days from now. I would love to see if the same, you know, individual poll, you're not going to get the same people, but I would love to see like the same sample size, to be honest with you, because as the session starts tomorrow, I can only imagine some of these numbers are going to change. As we talked about time and time again, to get some of this agenda done that the Democrats and Governor Westmore want to have happen, well, you're going to have to raise taxes and fees. And just so you know, right now, according to the Gonzalez poll, and you can look at this on CBS News Baltimore if you want to take a look. According to the Gonzalez poll, 61% of Maryland voters approve of the job Governor Westmore is doing, while 28% disapprove. The poll shows that 79% of Democrats and 75% of black voters polled support for Moore's performance. 79% of Democrats. Now, I'm not surprised on that one. 75% of black voters. I guess I'm not surprised. I guess I look at it and I say, well, which part do you approve of? Like, what has he done that you were like, yeah? Was it like the Trans Visibility Day? Is that what you loved about Governor Moore? Is it the fact that he likes to go to some of the Orioles and Ravens games? I don't know what you would like about him. I was really trying to think about this objectively. Like, I don't want to be a jerk. I know I can be. But I didn't want to be a jerk about this. I wanted to think, like, what has he done where I would say, yeah, this is a great governor? He spent a ton of money. We're headed towards a deficit. Juvenile Justice Reform Act, Juvenile Justice Interrogation Act, those things should have never been signed, Governor Moore. And then once you saw that things were getting out of control, you didn't call a special session to get them back under control. People told you that Vinnie Schiraldi needs to be fired. Even people within your own party has said as much. And you still won't fire the guy. I really am trying to think about what he's done that somebody would support. You know what? If you're on the other side of this, if you support something that Governor Wes Moore has done, I would love for you to call me. 410-WCBM-680. 410-922-6680. You can also text me through the text line, because I can't think of anything where I would say yes, because even when it comes to the Maryland Piedmont Reliability Project, that whole scenario is a nightmare. And he says, oh, I can't see where this would happen. You know, like he hasn't addressed that at all. And they've already filed for their permit, right? We learned that they filed for that application 2 weeks ago. I'm really objectively trying to think about this. What has he done? Man, I can't come up with anything. But if you can, let me know. Please call in. If there's some things that you disapprove of, you can also call in with that as well. There's some more numbers here. When it comes to Governor Wes Moore versus Larry Hogan, I guess you can see this on CBS Baltimore, CBS News. 52% of voters polled said that they would vote for Governor Moore if he were to run against former Governor Larry Hogan today. 52% said they would vote for Governor Wes Moore. According to this poll, only 38% would vote for Governor Larry Hogan, and 10% are undecided. Those are interesting numbers, aren't they? Well, Gonzalez pointed out that these poll numbers are very similar to the election results 2 months ago, when former Governor Larry Hogan vied for the open Senate seat in Maryland. Former Governor Hogan has enjoyed a very distinguished career in politics, but his neither fish nor fowl style that served him so well during his tenure in office has become a touch passé in the current day political arena. Huh. His prospects next year, should he decide to run, will be determined largely by events beyond his control. You know what? And that's what I'm looking at. If they're saying that Governor Wes Moore would beat Governor Larry Hogan hands down, I don't know how he takes this to 2028 and runs for the office of the presidency. I don't see how he does that. And again, I'm talking about Governor Larry Hogan. Now, of course, many people speculating that he will move over to the independent party. Independents don't usually fare well, right? So I don't know how if that would help him at all. But I think the Senate race actually really hurt him. And you know what? I would say that a lot of it is, you know, self-inflicted. I think he didn't want to choose a side. I think he wanted to handle Angela Alsobrooks with kid gloves because, and that was a tough situation, right? He doesn't want to look like he's pouncing on the black woman. God forbid, right? So he couldn't say a whole lot. But at the same time, a lot of people noted this, even during the debate, there were so many times that he could have pointed out to Angela that she was wrong on so many different topics and, you know, policies. And then when she talked about stacking the Supreme Court, I thought, man, he should really go in. He barely went in on that. And he didn't want to choose a side. And I understand this is a very blue state. I get it. Trust me. I've thrown my hat in the ring how many times now? I get it. I've got whiplash at this point. But if you don't stand on your conservative values, if you don't stand these Republican issues and at least, you know, come across as fiscally conservative, it's hard to feel sorry for you. Because either you're a Republican or you're not. And if you're not Republican or Democrat, I don't know why you would run for, you know, the office as a Republican in the first place. A lot of people were pointing out that he should have ran as an independent for the Senate seat. Interesting. I wonder if they're going to get some comments from Governor Hogan on this, on these latest numbers. I would love to see what he has to say about it. I got Chris in Ocean Pines. Chris, you wanted to weigh in on Governor Wes Moore?
Yes, I would. I'm very disappointed in the fact that he's trying to balance the budget on the tax-paying citizens of this state by creating these horrendous, I mean absolutely horrendous, property tax assessments. I have my personal residence here. I own four other rental properties here. And I have increases upward of 34% on one of them.
Wow.
And as low as 24%, I think.
Wow.
So he's taken a windfall that Governor Hogan left him and turned it into almost a $3 billion deficit, I think it was, two to $3
yeah.
billion dollar deficit.
Yep, you're
what
right about
done,
that.
That's not good. And for him to have that kind of approval rating, I understand it's Democrats, but certainly not on the Republican side, I'll tell you that. And this is something that crosses party lines. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you're still getting hit with the same property assessment.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Chris, I wonder if this poll, because I'm trying to get a date on this, I'm looking through CBS report. I'm assuming that this poll was taken before many people might have found out about it. When did you find out about it, the reassessment?
Monday when I, or was it Monday? No, it was maybe when I got my tax property assessment bills in the mail.
Okay. So it was recently, probably within the last week. So this was conducted.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This was conducted between, it says December 27th and January 4th. So you know what? A lot of people would have received it, I would think.
Yeah, I think I got them. Let's see, today's Tuesday. I think I got it on Friday.
On Friday. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? It might have been right on the cusp there. Well, Chris, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you, and I hope that things get better.
Yes. I do, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. Happy New Year, Chris, to you. You know, and that's another piece of this. Coming up next, we'll continue this conversation. All right, we're talking about the Gonzalez poll. This leads us to our question of the day. And I see that some of you have already, you guys are great. You're already on WCBM.com. I hope that you're getting your tickets for the State of the Union dinner, which is going to be happening on January 29th at Mount Washington Tavern. But also beyond that, the poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. How would you rate Governor Wes Moore's performance? Now, today is a little different. A lot of times it's a yes or no question. Today, it is not that way. Jonathan, our social media guru, he's taking it to another level. That's right. So today's question, how would you rate Governor Wes Moore's performance? There are three answers, three options here. Excellent, neutral, or terrible. Okay. So go to WCBM.com and vote today. Again, this is the WCBM poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. How would you rate Governor Wes Moore's performance? I can tell you because, like I said, some of you are already voting. I love this. 6% of you say neutral. 0% thus far said excellent. And 94% of you have said terrible. Which column do you think I'm in? I'll just say not the 6%. Not the 6%. You know, we'll continue to wait and see because, honestly, if Governor Moore, if he wants to run for the office of the presidency, like many people are talking about it, he's going to have a better record than this. He can't come in, right, and run up the bill, then raise taxes. And then, if you think about it, the things that he wants to accomplish, will he even see the results while he's in office? I mean, the blueprint. Just take that for example. The blueprint. Even if you stretch it out, he's pausing it, da-da-da-da-da, he's not going to see any results. They're talking about 14 years from now. So that's just money spent, right? You see no results on that one. When it comes to the red line, which is absolutely ridiculous, you know what the results are going to be? We already know. You're going to just take crime and, you know, commute it back and forth. Congratulations. And terrible results will come from that. And I still don't think you'll see that finished or completed by the time he leaves office if they get the money for it. The climate change initiatives, you're not going to see anything for that. They don't know which way the wind is going to blow. There's never any results with the climate change efforts. That's so stupid to me. It really is. So he's not going to see the results on that one either. You know what? That's another thing. What are you going to hang your hat on, Governor Moore? These are questions you got to ask yourself. You really do. Okay, don't forget, WCBM poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Today's burning question, how would you rate Governor Wes Moore's performance? You got to go on WCBM.com and you have to vote. You got to vote. I got some text messages coming in. Don't forget, if you haven't already, download the WCBM app. It is free in the App Store. Put it on your list of resolutions for the new year. That's an easy one. You can check that off the list within 5 minutes because you download the app. It's free. Doug said, morning, Kim. The governor just raised over 300 fees last year. Yeah, Doug. Clearly, the 61% that are so happy with what he's been doing, either they didn't get the memo and those fees do not involve them at all, or they have no idea the rise in fees really relate to what Governor Wes Moore has been doing. That's another piece of this. And real quick, not like I'm going to go through this whole story, but real quick, running for District 2 here in the last cycle, my friend George took me to a Jewish community event. And very happy to be there. Lots of people, some talkative, some not. But I was able to talk to a few women, and they were talking about how the taxes were raised in Baltimore County. And they believed, and these women, they were, you know, my age, maybe a little bit older. They believed that the taxes that they saw increase was due to Governor Larry Hogan. And I actually had to correct them. I said, well, no, which year are you talking about? And it was the increase that Johnny O put in place when he first got in office. I said, no, actually, I could pull that up for you on my phone. That was a county executive increase. It was a local increase. And they just looked at me dumbfounded. They were like, oh. So that's the thing. That's what I'm talking about with these fees. A lot of people have no idea who's raising what. You know, the voters just don't pay attention to that piece. And then they just blame whoever they feel like blaming, I guess. All right, coming up next, we'll continue this conversation. And, of course, we have more items to discuss. Even McDonald's dumping DEI. No more over there. All right, happy Tuesday. My, oh, my. We were talking about the Gonzalez poll. Don't forget, that is the question of the day. You can check that out on WCBM.com. And this poll question is brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. And that question is, how would you rate Governor Wes Moore's performance? And there are three options here now. You could say he's done an excellent job. You could say that you're neutral on it. Or you could say that he's done a terrible job. As I mentioned earlier, many of you already have the memo and you know to vote in the poll question of the day. So right now we are at, because numbers have changed, 0% of you have said excellent thus far. 4% of you now have said that he's done a neutral job, and 96% of you have said that he's done a terrible job. So, again, we'll continue to wait and see what he does now that session begins in Annapolis tomorrow. Will he make more announcements? Will he finally say that we can't afford to do some of these initiatives that he wants to get done on his agenda? We can't afford them. That's the bottom line. So hopefully that he does acknowledge that. I do love the fact that many of you do weigh in via text. Don't forget, you can always weigh in via phone line as well. If you ever want to call me, it's 410-WCBM-680. That's 410-922-6680. Let's see. You've got text here says, the only way I vote for Wes Moore is for Hogan to run. Never Hogan. And, of course, I do have a text here mentioning Dr. Jeff Wolford. You know what? I love the fact that you guys are talking about Jeff. I really do. Even if it's just because you heard about him here, maybe if enough of us talk about him, he'll run. That's what I'm hoping. That's the hope here because I would love to see it happen. Again, I just want to kind of wrap up this Gonzalez poll real quick because there was more notes here towards the bottom. If you want to read it, it's at CBS News Baltimore, okay? And they have the Gonzalez polls there. But real quick, I just wanted to say, raising taxes to improve state deficit, that was a question on this poll, believe it or not. And Maryland lawmakers, as they face a budget outlook worse than during the Great Recession, that's what they said on this, 2008 to 2009, with a $2.7 billion budget deficit for the next budget year, which begins July 1st, 2025. Believe it or not, only 17% said they support the state income tax increase, while 60%, 6-0, are against the motion. 55% of voters polled strongly oppose a sales tax hike, while 65% strongly oppose an increase in the state property tax. Now, this is something that we've been talking about because of the reassessments. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say, and I thank our caller from calling in from Ocean Pines, I'm going to say that individuals took this poll before seeing the reassessments. I don't think they knew before this poll went out. And that's why I would love to see what this poll looks like in 60 days. Look, even if they want to wait until July 1st, it is what it is. But I guarantee you that 61% approval rating that Governor Moore has currently, no way that it stands once people really start talking about the increases that they're seeing, whether it's the fees, whether it's the taxes, whether it's the reassessments. There's no way in the world he's going to have 61% after that. And that's what I said. Remember, we're not fighting. We're not beefing. You know, we're not picking on Governor Wes Moore. He took on the job as governor, right? He's the executive of the state. With that job comes some criticism. And the criticism is, your agenda is way too expensive. We can't afford it. Not only that, you can't guarantee any results from, I think, any of the things that you plan to spend lots of money on. Blueprint, red line, right? I mean, red line, is that going to guarantee more job opportunities for individuals? No. Because at the either end of that line, you got to have more job opportunities. You don't have that, sir. You don't have that. You're not creating more jobs. So blueprint, the red line, and then this climate change initiative stuff. Again, that's just like, you know, we don't know which way the wind's blowing. We don't know how cold it's going to be. You don't know. You can't override Mother Nature with money. She doesn't care about your money. She might be the one woman in the world that does not care. You can't buy her, okay? So it's like, you know, all of these things that he wants to accomplish, I just hope he knows, and I hope he tells those special interest groups, look, guys, we can't afford it, they don't want it, and I want to run for the White House one day. And if he puts his foot down, I think a lot of people would respect that. I know I would. I've got Steve in Hereford. Steve, what say you?
Hello, Steve in Hereford. Okay. Yep. Kimberly, thank you for taking my call, one.
Yep.
Two, we can see how dedicated Les Moore is to our state, for one, starting out. He was campaigning in Chicago for Kamala Harris. He's campaigning in Philadelphia. While Maryland was, was in dire straits there for a while, especially with the Key Bridge collapse, he's not pushing the right agenda for the help of the people of Maryland alone, let alone for the entire country. So again, as you stated prior, there's no reason he has nothing to hang his hat on or hang his coat on, whatever you want to call it, as far as his accomplishments.
Yeah.
And with the child thing about the finding the
child. Oh, right. And child poverty. Yeah.
Yeah. He's too lenient on that also. He's not standing up. He may have, I appreciate his, as a military person, I do appreciate that. That was very good of him. But as a governor, he's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Steve, thank you so
he
much.
He might be able to run military. He might be able to rule soldiers, but he can't rule a state. So that's all I got to say. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. Steve, thank you so much. Happy New Year to you. You know what? Here's what I'll say. I think, and I say this because I know that Governor Moore was a Republican. I know that he was a White House fellow for Condoleezza Rice. There could be a leader way deep down within. There could be. We just can't see it because, number one, he's like on this progressive kick. And number two, I think there are a lot of special interest groups involved. I think that he has a lot of people on either side of him. Remember, he's beholden to the teachers union. He's got to say, you know what, guys? Thank you for helping me get in office, but what I want to do is a good job as governor, and he could stop answering their phone calls. He could do that. He could do that tomorrow, January 8th, start of the new session. and then maybe he could prove that he is a great leader. But the more and more that he, you know, pushes some of these agenda and these pet projects, the more and more I'm just saying, okay, no, he's got people in his ear. He's doing what he's told. I mean, think about it. We talked before about how he ran and, you know, it came out that he didn't pay his water bill. Do you think he had the money on hand? I mean, he could have possibly had it, but do you think that he had, what was it? What did it end up being? Thousands upon thousands of dollars he had to just literally within overnight. It was overnight he had to pay it. Was it $25,000? Something like that. It didn't come out of the campaign. Maybe he had the money sitting there. But if you had the money sitting there, why wouldn't you pay it before you ran? So I wanted to think that he didn't have the money sitting there. And I wanted to think that somebody helped him out with it so that he could pay it and continue. Same thing with Angela Olsen-Brooks. Remember, we found out that she didn't pay all of her taxes. And then there were some payments being made. I would, one has to assume you didn't pay it before because you didn't have it. And one would have to assume that somebody, you know, slipped you a check. And so you wonder, who are they beholden to, right? What did Shirley Chisholm used to say? I'm unbought and unbossed. That we don't have that really now. I mean, you've got it in President Trump. I think he's unbought and unbossed. I know there's many people on the other side of the aisle that will never admit that. But you can't buy him. You really can't. Special interest groups, can't buy him. Remember he took all the lobbyists off Capitol Hill his first term? They were so mad. That's why a lot of those guys were upset with the Lincoln Project. Michael Steele and all those guys, they were lobbying down there. And then, remember he said they got to leave the Capitol. They were pissed. And they were like, wait a minute, wait. This is our back pocket money. And then all of a sudden they formed the Lincoln Project. And they were like, oh, we're going to take Trump down. I bet you are. I bet so. That's your money, honey. That's what that was about. I know those guys will never admit it, but that's what it was about. I wanted to talk real quick. I know you guys probably don't like The View as much as I don't like The View. But I just wanted to play the sound here. And I know the guys were talking about it on the morning drive. I was kind of appalled, kind of really offended. Sunny Houston, she actually compared January 6th to some serious atrocities. And the fact that she's not being called out by anybody on the left as of yet is astonishing. Maybe they're going to wait a little bit. But take a listen to what Sunny had to say on The View just yesterday.
I think we need to find moral clarity, you know, in this country. And I just remember after January 6th, you had someone like Mitch McConnell placing the blame on January 6th where it belonged, squarely on Donald Trump's shoulders. Mm-hmm. And then you started seeing people backtrack that, mm-hmm. and losing their moral center. You had Condoleezza Rice, I believe, on this very show saying, you know, we need to move on from January 6th. Mm-hmm. I say no. You don't move on because January 6th was an atrocity. It was one of the worst moments in American history. And when you think about the worst moments in American history, you know, like World War II, things that happened, you know, like the Holocaust, chattel slavery, we need to never forget because past becomes prologue if you forget any race.
All right. I warned you before we played the clip. Are you kidding me? January 6th is like the Holocaust. January 6th is like slavery. Sunny. You know what's so interesting is the fact that she's from the Baltimore region. I mean, she really does subscribe to the whole thing, doesn't she? And she plays the part well. We were talking earlier to a caller about, you know, those that were at the acting skills and the crisis actors. She's a good one. I would say Sunny's a crisis actor. She's great. And she really sold that one. Did you hear the crowd went mild? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. I couldn't believe that anybody would applaud such a thing. You cannot compare the Holocaust to January 6th. You can't compare slavery. None of these things. She put them on the list. Wow. What I will say is, and I think that Sean Casey mentioned it earlier today about the ADL putting out a statement. I will say sometimes they do take a moment to put a statement out. I will say that. So perhaps, you know, because it just happened yesterday, maybe they'll say something later this week. But I hope that they do. I do. I don't expect the Congressional Black Caucus or Black Lives Matter or what's that? Al Sharpton has the National Action Network or whatever. I don't expect them to say, "Hey, Sonny, January 6th was nothing like slavery. Slavery is a lot worse." I don't expect them to say that because they like to get in line. They like to get in line and just follow whatever anybody says on TV that's black, that's, you know, on their side. But the ADL, I hope that you come forward. I hope that you say, "Sonny, that was wrong and you need to apologize." And I guarantee you, if you look at the production team, if you look at anybody that funds anything that goes on, not just at ABC, but at The View, you will most likely find some prominent Jewish names. And if you are going to compare January 6th to the Holocaust, I would hope that those prominent Jewish names, I would hope that they would at least pull Sonny Houston aside and say, "Don't you ever do that again." But we shall see. Looks like some of you want to weigh in on this, and you absolutely can. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I've got Brian in Towson. Brian, you wanted to weigh in?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's going to be a great one.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
going to be a great one. Let's talk about these mouthpieces. All these people are is mouthpieces for these narcissistic ways in which they're just trying every way they can to change us, turn us, and make us to be something else. But these people who want to be a mouthpiece, they have no control of their own. To tell the truth and be honest and not deceitful, these people can't even change a flat tire or cook a sandwich. And you're going to tell me what to do?
Yeah.
That's my point. You have a great day and good luck.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you so much. And I agree with you 100%. I've got John in Reisterstown. John, did you want to weigh in on Sonny's comments?
Yeah. Hey, Kim. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Hey, you know, she said something about the worst times in American history, and then she mentioned World War II and the Holocaust. How is that America? I mean, I know it's American history. We went in and you know, we stopped Germany, but the Holocaust, how are we responsible for that? Why is that?
You didn't know? You didn't know what happened right in Cleveland?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, that's how she kind of describes it, right?
you know, these people like her, I just don't understand. They're, you know, they want to blame the United States for everything. And they, especially if, you know, there's conservatives running the country, that it's, they hate us. They hate America, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's depressing.
I think that's what it comes down to, John. I think you're right about that. I hope you have a great week and Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you and take care.
Thank you. I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, these people do hate America. I mean, look at Black Lives Matter. Look at any of these groups, Antifa, right? They hate America. It's like their number one objective is to change our values, to change our system, change government, change everything. And it's sad. This is the greatest country in the world for a reason. And if you don't like it, you have the option to leave. You can move at any point in time. All right, when we come back, I do want to just discuss really quickly about President Trump and his declare on unbanning drilling. I think that is important. All right. Hopefully some of the ice is melting out there. And hopefully everybody got to their destination this morning safely. But don't drive fast today. You see, it's going to be freezing all day. It's going to be freezing all week. I'm not happy. If you're in the same boat with me, let's sail to Florida together. We can all go in on the gas. That's what we can do. All right. Before the break earlier, I did mention that McDonald's is dumping their DEI. They have dumped their racial quotas. Just so you know, they're also retiring supply chain DEI pledge. There used to be a pledge, apparently. And now they will only promote based on merit. Can you believe it? They are going to operate like an actual business. Y'all, good job, McDonald's. They're gonna join Walmart. I think Lowe's has announced they're also doing it. They're dumping their DEI quotas. That entire situation, we're gonna look back in history and be like, who came up with that? We're going to promote people based on their color, their gender, and sexual orientation. That sounds like a great idea. Boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy. Ugh. These times in history, man, they are not going to look good for us. All right, real quick, I wonder if I have enough time to play this audio clip. I do. Brian says I do. President Trump did declare that he's going to unban drilling. This was on the Trump War Room, which is Steve Bannon Network. Take a listen.
Got to get things done. We don't get them done. I see it just came over that Biden has banned all oil and gas drilling across 625 million acres of U.S. coastal territory. It's ridiculous. I'll unban it immediately. I will unban it. I have the right to unban it immediately. What's he doing? Why is he doing it? You know, we have something that nobody else has. I mean, nobody has to the extent we have it, and it'll be more by the time we finish because I'll be able to expand. You know, we're going to expand our country, and it'll be more. We have oil and gas, and whether you manufacture widgets or gadgets or whatever you happen to be doing, some countries have to work very hard to do that. We do, too, and we will. But we have oil and gas at a level that nobody else has, and we're going to take advantage of it. And when I see somebody saying he's going to ban 625 million acres, he doesn't know what that is. He doesn't even know what 625 million acres would look like. And we can't let that happen to our country. It's our greatest. It's really our greatest economic asset, and we're not going to let that happen to our country.
All right, that's President Trump. Again, he was on the Trump War Room, which is, you know, with Steve Bannon and all those guys. And he's absolutely correct, you know, and I love the fact that he's going to unban, you know, all this drilling. And I think as soon as he takes office, because of some of these things that he's talking about today, I think we're going to see some relief. I really do, almost immediately. Now, I know it's going to take some time. I know there's going to be lots of people complaining and critiquing, and I'm sure that many of us are ready to go over that 100%. But at the same time, these are things that we need in order to get some of this inflation under control. Because we talked about this, right? Energy costs through the roof. Think about it. President Joe Biden, don't forget, he depleted our oil reserves. Okay? And he did so because what? Because they didn't want to drill. They said no to fracking. And they were like, oh, yeah, but, you know, we got to do it that way. Because, of course, what was going on in Russia, in Ukraine, and it's still going on to this day. Think about it. As soon as Trump is sworn in, things will change. To all those that were apprehensive about voting for Trump because he's not your guy, I just want to say personally, thank you. I love you. I am so happy that he's going to get this opportunity. And if he doesn't do a good job, hey, we'll talk about it. We'll be very honest about it. Before I go, I just wanted to mention Dana White has joined the board of directors for Meta. If you missed it this morning, Mark Zuckerberg did put out a video outlining that he wants Facebook and Instagram to be a lot more like X, formerly known as Twitter. So there will be less censorship, a little bit more free speech. And when it comes to like the fact checkers, they're going to do away with all that because he realizes that there is some bias. Now, of course, it's very convenient that he's changing all this now that President Trump has won and he's getting sworn in. But you know what? It is what it is. I'm not going to complain about it. A little too late, obviously, but we're not going to complain. And so we'll see how this goes. But Dana White has joined the board of directors for Meta, which means that if they don't make it more of a free speech platform, right, Facebook or Instagram, hopefully people like Dana White will raise their voice and they'll make sure that it happens. So just want to put that out there. If you haven't already, you can go check out that video posted by Mark Zuckerberg this morning. It's all over social media. All right. Well, I had fun today. I hope you had fun today. So continue to watch. Don't forget 3 p.m. Kathy Klausmeier. She'll be sworn in as a new Baltimore County executive. Congratulations to you, Kathy. I will talk to all of you tomorrow at 9 o'clock. We'll talk about President Trump's comments at his press conference today. Brian, as always, thank you for a great show. And I'll talk to all of you tomorrow. Stay safe out there.